just came back on the line. I just want to check to make sure that we're all connected. I am moving into another place in the house because right outside my office in my backyard having a neighborhood dinner. I'm the chairman, and they wanted to do it on Tuesday night, the night before school started, and they're having it, and I've got a wonderful committee here. Someone has taken over for me so I can have the opportunity to being with you all this evening. So excited to be with you. It's good to be here and to talk about those things that matter most. Now, if you can tonight, go on mute with star 6. If there's any background noise, if it's clean, you can probably avoid that. And if you'd like to participate in the call, just press star 6 and come off of mute and acknowledge until I can acknowledge that you're calling me by name. Just say, David, David. And when I hear you, I will acknowledge you immediately. We do want to have these calls serve you. This is it's interesting to get on a call and listen to someone teach. That's one thing. And I have some things I would like to share with you this evening. As importantly, this is an opportunity for you to come to this event and say, you know, David, I'm working on something, or I'm struggling with something, or I need some direction regarding something in my business. And let me have an opportunity to coach you just a little bit, because the promise is this. Anytime someone has the courage to step forward and say, I need some assistance, you would be very pleased to know that numerous other people on this call are dealing with the very same issues. And they maybe they felt uncomfortable and they didn't have the confidence to come on the line and express themselves, and you serve them by being courageous and asking a question. So if your heart starts pounding, if there's something that you've been dealing with in your business or your life, you've been working on, for an example, intrinsic validation, stepping into someone's world of resistance, and for some reason you've run into a difficult situation where that's hard to do, or you didn't know what to say, come on and let us explore ideas. That if you're working on your power sessions and you're having a challenge with how to do that more effectively, come on the line and serve the group and let me assist you. I'll do my very best based on emails that we receive to anticipate your needs. But if you're dealing with something right now in real time, just trust that when you have that need, it is most likely shared by many others. Before we begin this evening, we had Tanya. You came on the line last week, which I really appreciated. That was such a wonderful example as you shared, as you're practicing these principles, that things are starting to open up in your life and people are being placed on your path. Is there anyone who's had an experience in this last week that they would like to share with the group, a success that's happened in their life? Would like to take just a moment and, or as much time as you'd like, and share what's happening in your business or your relationships using these principles. Is there anyone that would like to share? This would be your time.
Hey, this is Jim Wallace. I've got a couple things I can share.
Wonderful, please.
I've been working on the power sessions. You know, I have things in the evening that vary during the week that allow me to, you know, plan for at least one power session in the evening. The two, which basically leaves the morning and midday for the other two, and when I'm at work, consistently doing the same thing. My power session's basically been, you know, focus on that hour of work and do it the best that I can, but it's kind of getting monotonous. So maybe you can help me out with that. But what I wanted to share was just getting up in the morning, trying to focus on why am I here, and if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path. I've had three people in the last week that have just come out of the blue, and all of a sudden I'm engaged in a in a conversation about them and the things that they need and how the economy's hurting them, and with my business, how I may have a solution for them. And we needed to talk more about that. I had an hour-long conversation with a coworker coming home from yesterday that I didn't even think of him being a possibility for my business, mostly due to conversations. The next thing I know, we were talking about things that were parallel and congruent with the very things that my business could serve him in. So definitely opportunities to follow up. I come home today, and a couple of the students that I work with are over here at my house with guests looking for me to, you know, help validate them and work on our business. So these little opportunities aren't just happening by accident. There are people being put on my path in numerous ways that I am identifying as people that are just that, people that are being put on my path because I'm doing the things in my business that are worthy of that, and there are people that are giving me the opportunity to serve.
I don't know. So. I'm on a coaching call.
Oh, okay.
So I'll come right in.
Oops, we have somebody in the background talking about a coaching call. If you could just press *6, that would be really helpful. Thank you. Go ahead.
And I'm identifying those situations immediately as they happen as opportunities where people have been put on my path so I can serve them. And I'm not. I'm definitely accrediting that to my power sessions and the things that I do when I wake up in the morning. So that's what I wanted to share.
Well, thank you. Before we started this, share with me your relationship with that power that's greater than you.
It probably didn't. I think it existed, but maybe not as in depth as it's becoming, because my background and the things that I've done with my own personal life and my own personal businesses in the past, for the most part, I felt like that the success or the failure of those businesses were based on my efforts and my dedication to making those businesses work, and that if I didn't do those things on my own without any help, they wouldn't get done and I wouldn't be successful. And partnering with that power, in addition to the partnership that I already have with my wife, who is also my business partner, is powerful. More than I ever thought it would be, which makes me appreciate that power and the relationship that I have with that power more than I used to, and realizing that I was taking it for granted before by not recognizing or maybe giving credit to that power.
Perhaps making it a little harder than it needed to be.
Yeah. Definitely make it harder than it needed to be.
Does success require hard work?
Yeah, I believe success is going to require work. I'm really good at making it harder than it should be, so that by the time it's done, I look back on it, and I'm definitely like, man, it didn't need to be that hard. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. But any business at some point or in time is going to take work, or, you know, like we've talked about before, doing those things that you don't want to do. But doing those things is what makes a business successful.
I just had a visual come to my mind. May I share it with you?
Sure.
I'm just envisioning someone digging a trench. is 2 feet wide, and it's, or 1 foot wide, and say 2 feet deep, and they're doing it with a shovel. And it's just them and the shovel. And the guy next to him says, I want to partner with a great piece of equipment called a ditch witch. And it's not that he digs the trench in half the time. He can dig twice along a trench. He's not going to work less. His work is just going to yield better results. That's kind of how I look at that partnership with that power, is that we're not going to work less. We're still going to work hard. It's not easy. But in partnership with that power, it will be better. There'll be more of it. We actually could get to a point that those big wow dreams we have, we might actually be living. Wouldn't that be fun? That's my promise to you.
I believe so.
Yeah, stay where you are. Stay in this space. When you wake up in the morning, and we talk about intentional creation, someone asked me the day to define it really clearly. Intent. Tent, T-E-N-T, means to stretch. It's to grow, to be in growth, creating, where you wake up and you're doing what you're doing on purpose in partnership with that power to bring abundance to the lives of other people, and then you just watch what happens. It's so fun. Thank you for sharing. And please come on again as we're going through this process, as you're having those experiences, especially those where if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Some of those can be really tender, precious moments where you know absolutely that that power has trusted you with someone's name. And when you serve them and you find out that they were in need of the very thing that you have, to be able to say to them, isn't it nice that that power knows your name? Isn't that wonderful? And to give them that peace that in troubled times and frustration, and many people are in pain right now, many on the call are dealing with their own levels of pain. But to be able to assist somebody else in that moment and lift and build and know when you go to bed at night that you've made a difference in somebody's life. And as I said many times before, each one of you represent great products, different kinds of products, but great products filling different needs, different people, different vehicles for to help people reach their dreams in their lives. And as you focus on them and serving them, your business will, in fact, begin to grow. There will be miracles in your business. It is wonderful to watch. I want you to know that in our own business, the Og Mandino Group, working with this intentional creation product, we practice these very principles, and we have these very experiences. I'd like to share one with you, if I may. This last weekend, we went to the cabin with several couples who had been coaching with us. That was our second weekend, and we've got one more coming. Tomorrow night, we leave for a 3-day couples retreat with 5 couples. Last week, we were with several couples. On the way to this event, I was a little tired. And in preparation the day before, I have to admit that there was a moment when I went, oh, have I got the energy to really be present this weekend? Many of these people this last weekend were not my coaching clients. They were people that worked with me on my team who had been coaching them for me. And then I invited them to come with us to the cabin. When I got done driving up there, we drive halfway up and have dinner, and then we switch everyone out of the cars, and I get to meet everybody and talk to them. When I got there, there was just a tremendous sense of need. People who desperately needed to just get away and have some fun. Friday, we were out on the lake, and I'm driving, and I'm looking in the rearview mirror at a husband and wife. They had 6 children, been married for 14 years. And his wife is laughing so hard out in the tube. She's sitting out in the tube bouncing, and I'm throwing them over the waves, and they're flying through the air. And she was laughing so hard you could hear her in the boat. And I had this moment just this moment of, wow, my heart just filled with joy to see this woman who I knew in 14 years of marriage, this was her first vacation. The first break she had had from her children in 14 years. Isn't that amazing? And there she was. She got off the tube and came into the boat and said, I haven't had this much fun since I was a teenager. But when I was sitting there driving and I looked up and I saw that, my heart went into my throat. Tears kind of welled up in my eyes because I knew at that moment we were creating something very special for this woman. She knew when she got done, and her husband knew, that before the sun set Sunday night, they were going to have their next two-day excursion, or the next quarter, scheduled. As part of their planning and goal setting, it would be scheduled. They had someone to love, someone who loved them. They deeply loved each other, but they needed something to look forward to. I don't want to go off on a tangent with this, but I want to tell you what happened. While this experience is occurring, my office is trying to reach me. I could hear my phone dinging, which is on the boat. And when we stopped, I checked and saw messages coming in from Lincoln about a very powerful person who I had the opportunity to spend time with today, who found Og Mandino's material 20 years ago. A person without a formal education who built a multi-million dollar business and sold it, set for life, who was sitting in her library looking at her books and came upon her Og books and had this overwhelming impression to call. And the call started today, as it started on Friday with Lincoln. I'm not sure why I'm here. But I felt very strongly impressed that someone needed something. Now, I don't know what's going to become of that call, but I can tell you I had the most amazing experience with a person today who has applied these principles in her life for 20 years. And she has lived them. She not just quoted Og, she quoted him by way of example of how she has lived. And she has had one amazing life because she has adhered to these principles. She lives them. I have no doubt we'll be long friends. The last time we conversation started like this, it was with Scott Irwin, who's one of our board members and a major contributor to our organization, just an amazing human being. People come into our lives. Could I take 2 days out of my life to serve? Can you? Do you tie money to every activity that you do? Can you just serve because there is a tremendous need? Trusting, as I heard earlier in this conversation, that there is a power greater than you that is softening hearts and preparing the way. So, I would highly recommend this concept of waking up in the morning and very intentionally planning your day, reading one of the scrolls, going over the things you have on your to-do list, and deciding, why am I here? I love you said that. Why am I here? What does this have to do with getting there, leading up to this? Is this the next piece, no matter how hard it is to do, is this the next piece, the next millimeter? Create a power session around it and then make it happen. Now, I had an interesting coaching session today on this very topic, and I want to share it with you today. There's no confidence as being divulged as I share this. We were talking about this person's business. And they happened to be in the real estate business. And they were in the business of buying homes and fixing and flipping them. And we identified the neighborhoods where that was most likely the case. And they were going to go around and look at what's called a notice of default list to find homes that were in trouble, which every other real estate investor is doing. And I said, let's mentally rehearse other ideas. And so we began mentally rehearsing. By the time we got done, they were contacting every minister in this community who were probably the go-to people for people in trouble, who were doing twice as much work for half the offerings to somehow run their congregation, who have people who need assistance, and began the process of taking on a community in a very different way than anybody else would think. How to serve this community? Can you feel the need? And anybody in any one of your businesses, no matter what your product is, you look out there in the public and you feel people. Can you feel the struggles they're going through, the need for passive income, for ways to generate additional dollars to pay their bills? They're being cut back in salaries, cut back in hours, cut back in days. Some of them are losing their jobs or have already lost their jobs. Can you feel this need out there and how you could reach these people and say to this power, what could I create in this power session? And then you get an idea. How could I create that? How would that serve? And you start getting these ideas. Well, we're going through this, and we came up with these ideas. And I came up with some, and there was some laughter, and wow, that's great ideas. But that was my idea. That was my idea. I think I've shared on this call my client that was going into a really tough meeting the next day. And I saw her going into the meeting with a paper sack and three light switches and handing out light switches to the other three people in the meeting. And when they got done and it was her turn to respond, she would say, I'm clearly on the hot seat. If anybody wants to fry me while I'm speaking, just flip the switch. She thought it was funny. It was cute. Light switches were my idea. They were funny. They were cute. They were, wow, a great idea. But it didn't ignite her passion. Until, in that example, I said, okay, you're going up the elevator of the meeting. What is in the sack? And she said in her sack, there were tomatoes. Same thought. Hand everybody a tomato. If you don't like what I'm saying, throw it at me. And the tomato was her idea. It was her vision. It was the impression that that power that governs abundance gave to her. It was an idea that came into her heart directly from that power, and it lit her on fire. She showed up to the meeting with the sack and the three tomatoes, sat down, stepped into the world of everyone, took down their walls of resistance, compromise was reached, the difficulty dissipated, great meeting, and never used the tomatoes. The client today may never use the discussion of talking to pastors to get to the community to serve people who are desperately in need. And the question I had, and I'll ask you, as you're thinking about this, and I'm sharing with you ideas of light switches and tomatoes and clever things that can be done, what are your tomatoes? That may sound silly, but what are your tomatoes? In other words, what are the divinely inspired impressions that you get? You see, when I share a great idea, someone says, oh, can I write that down? Can I tell me, say that one more time to me, as if it's going to be delivered as a script. And I say, don't use my line. When you're there in the morning considering your power sessions, what can I create? Let that power, who's your partner, as you're focusing on bringing abundance to the lives of other people, inspire your mind with your own idea. Because when it's yours, it will light your heart on fire, and it'll drive your discipline, focus, effort, and action. So do those power sessions in the morning. What can I create? How can I create it? What can I do during this 1 hour or 2 hour block of time as I'm meeting with this person, or I've got this difficult conversation with someone on my team or someone who used to be on my team? What can I create? How can I create it? And just be still and be with it, and know that when you're asking this question, this one can be answered. It'll light your soul. You'll go, wow. And with that excitement, go do the discipline, focus, the effort, and the action. And as you're in action, you'll find that power manifesting people on your path, as was described earlier in this call, who can serve you and who you can serve. And don't do the service counting the costs. One of the great risks in your businesses, and it's pretty consistent, that there can be people masquerading as people who want fellowship. They want to belong to an organization. There's camaraderie. There seems to be a community. The question is, when the economy gets difficult and it puts economic pressure on that community, what happens to it? It's a shame when it is money-based, masquerading as caring. Be the one who cares regardless of the economics, trusting that as you serve those in need, other opportunities will open up for you that you are not looking for or working for. They just happen because you're in that flow of abundance. Be real about your concern for people. Don't make it, "I'm concerned about you so I can sell you something to make a commission so that I can buy my house on the hill." Stop thinking about the house. Start thinking about the lives, that when they're changed, there will be a castle, but not because you focused on the castle, because you focused on the people. I said it before. You can either find 5,000 people to help you build your castle, or you can help 5,000 people build theirs. When you do the latter, you'll have an amazing castle. That's a promise. Now, let's go examine a couple of other principles. In order of importance, we have the principle that our primary focus is bringing abundance to the lives of others. And by the way, I am so excited to let you know tonight that the first 6 qualities of an intentional creator are up in your studio. If you purchased the 7 laws of abundance, it should already be turned on. If you purchased the 7 laws of abundance and it's not, just call the office, 801-294-7694. That's 801-294-7694. Ask for Lincoln or Chase or Krista. Any one of them can help you, and they'll turn those on for you so that you have them. There are 23 audio segments up right now in those 6 qualities. I'm working now on putting the finishing touches on finding joy in the journey and self-esteem, and those should be up shortly, so you'll have all 6 qualities. I'm going to highly recommend that you go back to the very first quality. There are a couple of articles. One is called Curing the Ease Disease, because that's one of the major challenges we're having, is that we have an intention, secret intention, to have a life of ease when we're finally above all the stress and the strain, which is not going to create anything other than frustration. And becoming an intentional creator, so you have an understanding of what that means, and then go right into that first quality, connecting with people. In that quality, I share with you that everyone has a wall, and everyone does, a wall of resistance. It's just our human nature. We also, all of us, have been blessed with experiences, some of them very painful, that have prepared us, uniquely prepared us, to take on somebody's life, to assist them in overcoming their challenges. There's a quote that's going into Kevin Hall's new book that says that we've all been through pain. We know what it feels like. We can't go back in time. But when we use these life experiences to serve others, we finally have purpose in our suffering. If you're going through challenges right now, or have been through some, and it has just about cost you everything, that could probably be one of your greatest gifts, because now you know what it feels like. And the more you can get in touch with what you have experienced through life, the more capable you are to step into somebody else's world and connect with them. You don't need me to script questions. You don't need me to script questions when you're going into your own life experience and you're going, wow, I wonder if they feel like I felt then. I wonder if the same thing is happening to them. And you trust your intuition and you ask the question. Oh, what a beautiful thing. So walls of resistance, your empathy, intuition, those are two different audio segments. And the next one is intrinsic validation. How to look for the good in someone, what's important to them, and to verbalize it. How to listen for doors, verbal hints about what someone is thinking, and to step into their world and take down their walls of resistance. And then with that understanding, learn how to try on their dreams. You try on, and trying on their dreams, you make the decision, is my product really going to serve them? And if so, and the timing's right, then you invite them into your world and you serve them by sharing that opportunity which could change their life. And Tanya, we just heard you just joined us. I don't know if anybody else heard that, but I did on the moderator line. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
So here we are with this one principle, intrinsic validation. I believe there are 2 hours on how to go through that. And then there's a whole entire audio section on partnership. Partnership in terms of your partnership with the power that governs abundance, and then partnership with a committed partner. That's what we're doing this weekend at the couples retreat. We spend one day on commitment, the next day on trust, and the last day on intimacy. I will say this, you may have heard it before, but there is no success ever that can compensate for failure in the home. Whatever you do, don't let your business destroy your relationships. It's not worth it. We can get so caught up in a company that it's like we drank the Kool-Aid. It's like the only true and living church of whatever. These are businesses and business opportunities. They need to be run like businesses and not like churches. Don't get so caught up in something with such religious fervor that you destroy your family over the business. Business may or may not be there forever, and it would be a shame to do that with a family. So step back and make sure you're taking time to build that partnership. If you want to have a better relationship, it may be time to become a better partner. So there's a whole section on becoming a partner. But that's the first quality of becoming an intentional creator. Someone who can take down walls, use their life experiences, step into people's worlds and connect, be a great partner with that power in doing so, and starting with their own committed relationships, being great partners there, and obviously in business. If your committed partner, life partner is not your business partner, then there's business partnerships and other kinds of relationships. That's the first quality of an intentional creator. That person, if you look at your assessment, you can see the measurements. You can click on the bottom bar that says connecting with people, and you will see those characteristics light up. They're being empathetic, being able to see the uniqueness and the pricelessness in a person. They're being respectful, not too focused on a person's outward appearance so that we create expectations about how they should perform or feel intimidated because they look successful. Just appropriately respect a person's appearance and contributions. To be accepting of someone's belief systems. Being tolerant of people who believe differently. Of being just and fair when someone is having a challenge in their life. I've got a wonderful new coaching client I'm going to be starting who's just coming out of a rehab. I am so excited for him. We just passed the 6-year mark with another client who had gone through rehab. I started my coaching with him as he was being driven to the rehab 6 years ago. He could have been thrown away. He is now the sales manager of a very large company with a very wonderful income. Oh, let us not throw people away, nor let us be too lenient and non-confronting without creating boundaries with people. That's the just and fair piece. And let us be compassionate, compassion, willing to suffer with someone. That's the first quality of an intentional creator. The second quality is about being able to set realistic goals and achievable expectations. You'll find all these measurements on the right-hand side of your graph. This is being self-directed. Self-directed is being able to do things because you want to, and you get to, and you choose to. Oh, what a beautiful thing. It's being honorable. It's being goal-oriented. Honorable is having a realistic understanding of what you can actually accomplish and not being so perfectionistic that you get frozen in your tracks. It's about being goal-oriented in that you use your capacity to visualize constructively. Now, in that program, the six qualities, there are about 3 hours. There is about 3 hours of recording on this. I've gone into great explanation. I'll share as much as we can during our group coaching so that you can understand it even more effectively. But being able to set goals and plan how to create a relationship, how to maintain a relationship, how to build a business, how to become an employee who brings value to the workplace. This is using our mind constructively. That's when we're mentally rehearsing. You've heard me talk about that. The mention was made today. If there's someone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Seeking inspiration, another important way to use your mind, a constructive way. Exploring ideas. Some of you write ads for Craigslist, being able to mentally rehearse what kind of person you'd like to talk to, and then writing an ad that speaks to that person, writing it and then rewriting it and then rewriting it. It's like the etch-a-sketch of your mind where you've got the opportunity to look at so many possibilities before making a tangible commitment, before paying a fee if you need to. Before building something physically, you actually get to try it on mentally. Your minds are so powerful to be able to do this. This is all part of the mental creation process. And we want to be able to be resolute. That's right toward the bottom on the right-hand side. When someone is resolute, they're making a commitment. This came up in a conversation with our sales team this morning. How many of us are serving more than one master and not doing a very good job at any one of them? Now, this isn't to be hard on ourselves. It's just to explore. When you've got a full-time job and you're trying to start a new business and you have a family, something has to suffer. It just does. Being able to do power sessions while you're at work, so you're more effective. You don't want to rob your employer of your time or energy. To come home and know that you're sacrificing for a period of time, but you want to make absolutely sure if you're not with the family that that time is absolutely spent in creation, intentional creation, and not in busy work or dreaming or fantasizing or hoping or just going to meetings, because you don't have time for that unless it's moving your business forward. And then the time you do spend with your family to make sure that it's there. But this is about a fear of, you know, am I with the right company? Am I with the right product? Am I with, when it goes out of balance, the thought processes are, but if I commit 100% to this direction and it's the wrong direction, it could cost me. Well, here's the truth. In not committing to any direction, it's already costing you. Maxwell Maltz, wrote Cybernetics, Psycho-Cybernetics, made a great comment. He said, there's no such thing as a great decision. You make the best decision you can make, and then you work really hard to turn it into a great decision. Whatever choice you make, you can make of it whatever you choose if you're 100% committed. So when you get a chance, look at your assessment on Resolute and say, is this balanced, or am I kind of waffling just a little bit? Possibly. In terms of being pragmatic, pragmatic is when we take a look at all the things that have to be done to become successful. And our mind goes, oh, this is going to take forever. I'm never going to get to my dreams. Oh, we go into overwhelm and frustration when this one goes out of balance. And the cure is very simple. We focus on serving other people in partnership with the power that governs abundance, and we speed up the process. I've said this to you before on this call, that at the end of the day, when I can say to that power, I have done all that I can do today, would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? I know that that power will do more work while I'm asleep than I could ever do in the day. Why would I ever rebel against that power? Why would I ever be in resistance from that kind of power who will work for me while I'm asleep and more effectively than I ever could? As was mentioned earlier in this call, and those people show up, things start happening. They're ready to listen. They need what you have. Oh, how fun is this? When we stop focusing on those kinds of challenges, and from a practical standpoint, we acknowledge that there is going to be work involved, but I only do it one day at a time. I live in the now. I do all that I can today. Instead of worrying about all that needs to be done and having that impact me not getting things done, I'm going to focus on doing all that I can, knowing that I'm in partnership with the power that created the universe. Not too bad of a partner. That's pragmatic. And lastly, coachable. That I am open to ideas that will improve my life. I'm not stuck. Just think about the second quality of being self-direct, doing what you do because you want to and you get to and you choose to. Of having a realistic expectation of your own performance, of using your vivid visualization constructively. Imagine this, of being coachable, open to ideas that improve your life, of not being overwhelmed by all the work that needs to be done, but focusing on the piece you can do today, knowing that if you do and you're focusing on serving others, there's a power greater than you that'll speed up the process. And it'll be happy. It'll happen faster than it could have happened any other way. And lastly, you're going to be resolute. You're going to make a commitment, stand your ground, and lift where you stand. What an important piece for you to acknowledge. That is the second quality of an intentional creator. So you're connecting with people, and you are setting realistic goals. You're using your mind constructively. And then we move to the third one, where we're going to focus on completing tasks. What does it take? It takes passion. Passion generated by using your mind constructively. Passion coming into the here and now, focused on a project, doing the work, doing the power sessions. Oh, what a fun process. Now, the last one I'm going to share with you tonight is the, for right now, is the one that I just put up. It's a discipline and structure. I talked to you briefly about this last week, where we start to set aside our resistance and our rebellious nature And we talked about, remember last week, about jumping into the swimming pool, letting go and trusting and just doing it. And that we have a natural rebellious nature. I ask you all to bring your assessments tonight so we could look at this. I want you to go on the left-hand side of your assessment and just put a little pencil mark if you've got a printout. If not, just write down these words, disciplined. Disciplined is the first one. Teachable. Analytical. Methodical. Consistent. And loyal. These are the thought processes, and these are some of the more troubling thought processes that we deal with. I want to spend some time on each one of these thought processes tonight so we can go in and listen to this section. It can come alive for you. As you're working on your own life, it can come alive for you. Disciplined. 97% of the time, this thought process is out of balance in the lives of those who are actively seeking abundance. 97% of the time, we're resisting structure. It's entrepreneurial in nature. Almost every entrepreneur does resist structure. But it would be wise this week, as you're looking at your life, studying your scroll, doing your power sessions, how often does this measurement called discipline talk you out of doing the power session? Talk you out of having that little meeting with yourself in the morning early before everyone gets up. Talk you out of reading the scroll. And listen to some of the reasons that it gives you. You're too tired. You're too overwhelmed. You've got so much on your plate. There is no logic at all in any of those excuses that it wants you to buy into. If you're overwhelmed, you absolutely need to have a plan. If you don't have time to read a scroll, you need to reorganize your day. What an interesting piece to say, shut up, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to resist anymore. I have been in resistance. I wanted to fire my boss. I wanted to get rid of my boss. And when I fired my boss, some of you may have discovered that you just had a new one, and that was you. You've heard me say that before, and you might have also discovered you're not a very good one because you haven't been till now willing to force yourself to do the work in spite of this resistance. This is a giant beast who is screaming, trying to keep you from taking the action necessary. Teachable. Some of you have been in some relationships that are difficult. And as a result, you become resistant to anyone in a position of authority telling you what to do. Well, it can cause resistance even in our conversations. We can throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can resist the very structure that would bless our lives just because it comes from someone who we might feel like is trying to control us. Just become aware of this. Step back and go, wow. You know, I've got this person in my upline who just sometimes drives me crazy. They're always pushing this button and pushing that button. Well, look how successful they are. If they're successful, it might be in your best interest to surrender this thought process and tell it to be quiet and listen with an open heart at what they are saying to you, because they may be giving you some really good advice that we might be throwing out because it feels like they're trying to control us. It's so important, I want you to hear this, that you be bigger than the person who's talking. You see, sometimes people don't know how to tell you good things. They might be a type A personality that gets under your skin and bothers you or offends you, or you feel like it's personal. And all of these thoughts are getting in the way of hearing the kernels of wisdom in what they're saying. Don't ever let someone's words and the way in which they approach you impact your ability to glean the truth, to glean the nuggets. Be a gleaner of nuggets of truth. don't get caught up in the presentation. Because if this thought process teachable is out of balance in your assessment, it's going to have you get caught up in the teacher. The teacher is going to have to teach it in a way that you want to hear it. Oh, what a tragedy. Because you might miss something that's really important because they didn't say it the way your thought process wanted to hear it. But what they said was exactly what you needed to know. So take a look at that thought process. Analytical, the next one. 97% of the time, this one's out of balance. 97% of the time, we're thinking and thinking and thinking ad nauseum. And what do you do to shut off your thought processes? What do you do?
Take action.
Take action. Do something. Take control of knowing this. Now, I've shared little pieces. I go into great detail in this, in the area, in the discussion of discipline and structure, about dualistic thinking, this unique characteristic. And I've shared some of these pieces on the call, and I'll just go into more detail with you tonight, that this thought process is so unique because it sees everything in absolutes. All, nothing, win, lose, right, wrong. When you are thinking the way you are thinking, you're going to get attached to your ideas. I mean, if we got someone on the phone who knew you and said, does so-and-so ever have a strong impression, strong feelings about the way things ought to be done? The truth is, you may be right. You may be right. But this thought process wants you to be right about everything. And at the cost of destroying people's lives. I shared with you last week, 95% of the population cannot separate their idea from their self-worth. When you challenge somebody else's idea, 95% of the time it's personal. That's why they fight back. We say, gosh, why are they fighting so hard for such a stupid idea? Well, it's not a stupid idea. It's their self-worth that's on the line. We need to be bigger than this thought process. Because this one will run your life and ruin your relationships. Absolutely. The need to be right and the other risk to catastrophize, to spend endless amounts of time in worst-case scenarios over there in that void and the darkness of confusion and doubt and despair. This is the thought process right here, analytical. That's the one that drives it. So if you spend a lot of time in catastrophe and worrying and frustration, you're now looking at the culprit. There it is. There it is. It's twin sister, twin brothers right across the world over there called goal-oriented. And quite often, both of these are orange or red for you. I would have everybody come off mute and say, if I've got both of these either orange or red, say yes. You'd be somewhat relieved by the number of people who say it. Oh, this thought process can destroy lives. At the same time, it can be one of your greatest allies because it won't stop thinking till it comes up with a solution. It'll think while you're sleeping. It'll keep processing. It just has to. It's got to come up with an answer. It's all nothing, absolutes. Just know that the harder you're pounding your fist, the more likely you're getting really bad advice from this thought process that's out of balance. Just think about some of the conversations you've had, even with those you love, children, spouses, friends, parents, where you just got into one of those grind-out, angry, frustrated, right-wrong discussions. That's the thought process that drives it. You're going to want to spend some time taking that one on. I've got two exercises. I gave one of them to you last week. Finding good in someone's idea. Another one is, what's it like to be in a relationship with someone who always needs to be right and get some feedback from those closest to you when you're ready. Methodical, this fourth measurement. Methodical is a very interesting one because when we need to be right, we can also become very close to other people's ideas. And when we are, we can't find the good in their ideas. We can also have trouble with being consistent. we actually will find excuses to avoid structure. You'll be sitting there ready to do something that's important that you've planned, and all of a sudden, you sit down and your pencils aren't sharpened, you need to move a file or two, make a phone call to somebody else, all kinds of important things. Is right by this measurement consistent? Is there a thought process or a sign that you hang on your door, a metaphorical sign? Interruptions welcomed. Please, anything, do not have to do this. And lastly, loyal. How good are you at implementing rules? Are you really hard and harsh? Are you too lenient? Because there's a way to do it that's kind, but yet with boundaries. This is such an important piece before we move into finding joy in the journey and self-esteem. Now, I know full well that many of you have thought processes that are starting to interrupt your self-esteem. Next week, I want you to come prepared. In the assessment, and just go to your assessment, click on self-esteem so you can see the six measurements that are involved and see where yours are. I want to walk through with you next week some of the major causes for challenges in self-esteem, some things that you can do to start to overcome these challenges so that you can start the process of becoming whole and healthy, real and genuine and authentic without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. Here's the question I want you to ponder this week. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what your thought processes are saying to you about you. Because the question that gets asked is this. If I said half the things to you that some of these self-esteem thought processes say to you, could we still be friends? And the truth of the matter is, most of what is said isn't true. Now, some of it is. I mean, I'm working with a nutritionist. We got people out in my backyard eating fried chicken, corn on the cob, potato salad, a macaroni salad, watermelon, and there isn't one of those things I can eat tonight. Because the truth of the matter is, I've got a weight problem. It's the truth. I have allowed, since I finished college football, to let my body, I haven't paid attention to it like I should have. I put on a few pounds, and it's getting to a point where it's impacting my health and a little bit of steam issues. Well, that's the truth. It's something that needs to be done proactively. It's become a series of power sessions. There's a nutritionist, trainer involved, very aggressive, intentional creation of a different body so that we can be healthy. Though you may be dealing with some body issues that are very real. That could use some intentional creation. So we'll talk about that as well. But let's spend next week on self-esteem, how to be whole and healthy, how to heal yourself so that you can show up in the service of others without a lot of noise in your head about what do they think about me, or gosh, do I sound stupid, or I'm not as successful, what happens if they ask me this, and all those questions going on inside our heads that cause our prospects to ask those very questions. Well, how successful are you? How much money have you made? The very things we fear. Those with good self-esteem don't get asked the question, at least not very often. And if they do, there's no fear, no matter where they are, to share honestly what's happening. So next week, self-esteem, come prepared. Now, if anybody's got some issues related to self-esteem that you would like to make sure that I cover next week, I want you to send me an email. Send it to lincoln@augmandino.com. Any concerns you have, things you'd want to make sure that I address. So next week, let's take on self-esteem and see if we can begin that new journey of today I begin a new life. Today I shed my old skin. We've got too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I am born anew, and my birthplace is a vineyard where there is fruit for all. That will be our mission next week, to go into that space to serve you. Any final questions or comments before we wrap up this session tonight?
Hey, Dave?
Yes?
Can you just list those, the discipline, analytical, methodical, can you just list those real quick one more time?
Absolutely. These are the thought processes surrounding discipline and structure. It's on the left-hand side of your graph. It'd be disciplined, teachable, analytical, methodical, consistent, and loyal. There's some functionality also on your graph when you go in, you know, with your username and password into your studio to look at your information. At the bottom of that graph are the six buttons for the six different qualities. You can click on disciplined and structure, and those six will light up. When you go to your risk report, if you've done your little 995 upgrade, you get your full risk report and all your affirmations. They're divided into the six qualities. So you can go right to, in your risk report, to discipline and structure, and there's a whole bunch of information related to each one of those that goes into detail about some of the risks and the seriousness of the risk based on your measurement. So it's another way for you to go even deeper into those measurements. And then you've got your affirmations divided into those six qualities. You can press on discipline and structure and affirmations, and there are the six balanced characteristics, how you want these characteristics to be functioning. And I've set that to music, so it's inspiring to listen to. Does that answer your question okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay, next week is self-esteem. Let's take it on. I'll be in the midst of writing that and getting it ready for being put on the studio, so it's going to be a fun conversation next week. Well, have a great week, everyone, and our thoughts are with you. Very simple. Focus on bringing abundance to the lives of others in partnership with that power. Stop resisting it. Be open to it. Use your mind constructively so that it can give you impressions and ideas that will ignite your passion. Bring that passion to here and now, and in your power sessions, create something magnificent. And come back next week prepared to share it. Good night, everybody, and have a wonderful week.
Thanks, Dave.